Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Monday afternoon, partly cloudy and very, very warm. Seems like we went right from spring into summertime. If you were at the Zurich Classic, aside from that 90-minute rain delay, it was a nice weekend. I'm sure you enjoyed that. Beautiful course. Looked really nice on the TV. And also Jazz Fest, great weekend. I didn't go this weekend. I'll be going next weekend. If you have any comments that you want to make about Jazz Fest this year, any problems, anything unusual happened, or was it the typical Jazz Fest, which, by the way, that's a good thing. I don't mean that, oh, was it the typical Jazz Fest? No, it's typical Jazz Fest. That's a good thing. Anyway, it's quite a struggle to get there. I mean, you got to really love it to want to go there and endure all of that and then, you know, stay for a long time and then go home. I mean, you're usually exhausted. People are usually exhausted when they get home. But if you went this weekend, I hope you had a great time. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Once again, a lot to get to. We were talking in the first hour about the Saints draft, and I'm excited. I am psyched. We had a caller last hour say that the Saints made a big mistake in selecting this quarterback from Louisville, Tyler Shuck. Again, his name is spelled S-H-O-U-G-H, and you just would not want to pronounce it that way just naturally, but it's Tyler Shuck. He's 6'5", he's 25 years old, and those are positives. Bobby Hebert thinks he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Saints. We talked to Jeff Nowak, a Saints sideline reporter, last hour, and he says he does think that's going to happen, but he does think that Spencer Rattler is going to give him a real challenge in training camp. And, you know, that always makes for a good starting quarterback. And what about Derek Carr? We don't know if Derek Carr has shoulder surgery. It looks like that's going to be the end of his season for 2025. So he may decide to try to get through the season without surgery, may have surgery. Those are things we don't know. And that's one of the reasons the Saints are not talking about this. Also, we learned that his wife, when it was time for him to make a decision about coming to New Orleans, his wife endured a miscarriage, which, you know, that's a tough thing. It made it sound like it happened more recently, but apparently it happened when he was making the decision to come to the Saints. So, you know, there are obviously a lot of things that go on in the minds of players. We think football is the most important, and in some ways football is important to them, and maybe the most important thing to them, but family is even more important than that. At least I would hope so. But if you want to comment on this this new quarterback, who, again, Bobby Hebert thinks is going to be the Saints starting quarterback, and I mean, how cool would that be? How much fun would it be for the Saints to have a new starting quarterback that you felt like was going to be the quarterback to grow with the Saints and ultimately lead the Saints to the playoffs and maybe the Super Bowl? How cool would that be? I never got that feeling with Derek Carr. I never got, had that feeling. I never had the feeling that he was going to take us where we ultimately wanted to go. And I remind you that last season we saw a number of rookie quarterbacks do well. So teams can do really well and get to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. So we'll see what happens. So I'm excited about the selection. And then Shedeur Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders, who played at the University of Colorado, was not selected until the fifth round. And somebody made a prank call to him. And man, this was really cruel. Somebody, when he was waiting to be called, somebody called him and pretended to be an executive with the New Orleans Saints and contacted him and saying, you know, we're going to pick you. We're going to sign you to the Saints. And it was a prank call. Well, apparently it was the son of defensive coordinator of the Atlanta Falcons, Jeff Ulbrich. And he apparently left the phone number available. His 21-year-old son, Jax, got a hold of it and made this prank call. Really immature, really mean-spirited. I mean, that was just a mean thing for that kid to do. He's apologized, you know. I mean, that's just an embarrassment for his dad, defensive coordinator. It's an embarrassment for the family. It's an embarrassment for the Falcons. I mean, the fact that he got the phone number, that's not the problem. The problem is what he chose to do with the phone number of Shedeur Sanders. And it's just sad. I mean, he went on to say, Friday night I made a terrible mistake. Shedeur, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm sorry that I took away your moment. It was selfish and childish. I could never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake. And thank you for accepting my call earlier today. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. So he's asking for forgiveness, but that was just a really dumb, hurtful thing to do. And it seems like there's a tendency in America for people to want to hurt other people. People who are doing them no harm. They want to hurt them. And I guess if you have the power to hurt somebody, I guess that gives you a sense of power. And there are a lot of people who have to look around their lives, and whether it's subconscious or conscious, they have to look around their lives and realize they're powerless. They don't have any power. The only power they have is to vote and voice their opinion. And they think that voicing their opinion is going to somehow bring about change. That they can complain about something and it's going to automatically change. Well, if people are confident with what they're doing, complaining is not going to change anything. But it seems like the hurtful comments in general that are launched at people are done out of a desperate desire to feel like you have the power to hurt people. I got power, man. I hurt that. I got power. I think that's what it amounts to. All right. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Ian is doing business work in the office today. Coleman is our studio producer. Coleman, let's take a look at some of the text messages.
This text says, I was surprised to see how shocked Prime was when his son didn't get picked by the Saints.
You know, I wonder if there was this implied conceit, cockiness, overconfidence. It's one thing to be confident. It's another thing to be overconfident. I wonder if there was this sense of cockiness that made a lot of teams stay away from Shedeur.
This text says, nobody wanted to deal with his father, Deion.
Well, I guess you would have to deal with Deion, but I would like to think that Deion is mature enough to know that he's got his coaching job to do and that Shedeur is a grown young man. And if he goes off to a team, Deion Sanders shouldn't have anything to do with the team. I mean, it's like the parent that tries to get too involved in, you know, the coaching of the little league team, even though they're not the coach. So, you know, I think that's probably a legitimate concern.
All right, this one says, I think Sanders' level of competition was not as competitive and could be a reason why he was not picked high. And another reason is his drama of having a another prime deal, dealing with his daddy. It cut off, but I guess he was going to the Deion Sanders deal.
Yeah, look, I saw him play. I mean, I didn't watch every game. But the games that I saw, I mean, I was looking for brilliance. So I was looking with a positive attitude. And I saw too much inconsistency. There were brilliant, brilliant moments. But then there were some moments that weren't so great. Not great enough to be drafted in the first round. I'm not surprised he didn't go in the first round. I'm glad the Saints didn't select him. And you know, if you listen to Sports Talk, you know Bobby Hebert for a long time has been talking about Aaron Rodgers coming to the Saints. Well, apparently that's not going to happen. And Bobby, in the articles on our website right now, Bobby thinks that that Tyler Shuck is going to be the Saints starting quarterback. And at 6'5", you know, finally we have a quarterback who can see over the offensive line. So we'll see what happens. But I, you know, with a new coach, potentially a new quarterback, again, we don't know what's happening with Derek Carr yet. I am totally jazzed about the Saints season coming up.
All right, two more. This one says, a Giants executive described meeting Sanders and the head coach Brian DePaul at the combine. DePaul pulled out the game installation plan for Schroeder to study. Schroeder didn't catch on. When he was called out for it, he got insulted. Another league insider said that he showed a sense of entitlement during the entire interview process.
Yeah, that came up on my Facebook page. I got a lot of comments. I posted a video about this and going into the weekend. And, I mean, it's still there, Scoot on the Air Facebook and Scoot on the Air Instagram, still there to comment on. But I got a lot of comments about that he's uncoachable and that he was too cocky. And, you know, again, there's a big difference between being confident and overly confident. And I guess, you can't think too much of yourself. It doesn't work in life. And see, I think that's one of the things that works against Donald Trump. I think he thinks too much of himself. And there's lessons to be learned about that. All right, let's do another one.
Yeah, this last one says, this is going back to Derek Carr. Derek Carr is a good quarterback, good enough to win on a good team. The problem with Carr was he never played for a good NFL team.
Well, there's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. But, you know, we had him enough to see enough. And, you know, as Saints fans, as astute Saints fans who are paying attention, you know, we were confident for a while. But there wasn't enough. There was way too much inconsistency. All right. The numbers for Donald Trump, the polling numbers, are terrible. CNN's Henry Enten says it's just horrible. Trump, 100 days in office, his approval rating is 41%. That's the lowest of any president in the last 70 years. Now, that's not my opinion. That's a fact. This is not his final report card. He's going to be president for 4 more years. But right now, this is a fact. His approval rating is lower than Joe Biden, 12 points lower than Joe Biden was after 100 days, 22 points lower than Barack Obama after 100 days, and 21 points behind former President George W. Bush at 100 days. So, I mean, this is not good. This is not good. And Candace Owens is even turning against Donald Trump. You know how I've been talking about how, you know, some of the comments that I make about Donald Trump, I'm not alone. And a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives are sharing my criticism of Donald Trump. Now, if you are in that blinded by bias, right-wing radical, brainwashed by the conservative media group, well, there's no hope for you. But if you're a reasonable person, you can see that Donald Trump is not perfect. And Candace Owens says she never thought she would take up for a university over Donald Trump, but right now she's backing Harvard University in their fight with Donald Trump. And this is over freedom of speech. And because Harvard University allowed voices to be heard that Donald Trump disagreed with. Donald Trump wants to take funding away from Harvard University. This is what I'm talking about when I talk about the severe, serious threats to freedom of speech. And even conservative Candace Owens, who is a big-time Trump supporter, is standing up and speaking out against Trump. Now, I do want to congratulate and applaud Donald Trump for right now how he seems to be handling the war between Russia and Ukraine. And Donald Trump was at the funeral of the Pope. So was Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. And they had this chair-to-chair summit meeting where they were both alone, chair-to-chair. And Donald Trump was actually criticizing Vladimir Putin, saying that maybe he's, quote, tapping me along, meaning that he's just stringing Trump along. And I would think, yeah, that's possible. But Donald Trump has been so reticent to criticize Vladimir Putin that I think it's refreshing that Donald Trump is being honest about Vladimir Putin and criticizing him. And he says he doesn't think that Vladimir Putin is really honest about wanting peace. And I would agree with Trump. I don't think Vladimir Putin wants peace, because if it ends now, Vladimir Putin loses, because he didn't do what he wanted to do. His mission was to take over Ukraine. He hasn't done that. He's not going to do that. And that's because of the resolve of the Ukrainian people. So I applaud, you can mark your calendars, because I do this once in a while, but sometimes you don't hear it. But I applaud Donald Trump for criticizing Vladimir Putin and for the way he's handling the war at this particular point. And that war was never going to be decided in the first day. But when it comes to Trump and Vladimir Putin, you know, I mean, these guys are, you know, kind of going back and forth. And, you know, I mean, you got to ask the question. I mean, at this point, who's zooming who? Trump or Putin? You know, Vladimir Putin is playing Trump. Trump now seems to maybe be playing Vladimir Putin. But for Trump to acknowledge that Vladimir Putin may be stringing him along, I think is a major, major breakthrough. All right, if you've got a comment this afternoon, the Oakenard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot on the air. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1989, you know, that was just a couple of years after they were really starting to hit it big, John Bon Jovi took himself off the market. John Bon Jovi, who could have had anybody, probably had a lot of people before this, but on this day in 1989, very early in the success of the band, John Bon Jovi married his high school sweetheart, Dorothea Hurley. They got married at the Graceland Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas. And you know what? They're still married today. And they just seem to have a great, great family. And I haven't read the song facts on this, but I'm sure John Bon Jovi was thinking about Dorothea when he wrote this song. I saw Bon Jovi and talked to him for a while. I saw him in the VIP room of a gentleman's club, the top gentleman's club in downtown Denver. When I lived in downtown Denver, the Gentleman's Club was not far away. They had really nice food, a nice VIP room. So I would go there sometimes and just relax. And John Bon Jovi was in town because of his football team, the USFL team. And he was in town because there was a game there in Denver. And, you know, before I actually talked to him, I was sitting at my table. And I saw John Bon Jovi. I mean, the dancers came in there. The strippers came in there. And they kind of surrounded him. And he was with a group of people, an entourage. He was with this group of people. And these girls were around him. And, some of the hottest girls in there were trying to hit on John Bon Jovi. And I want to tell you, this guy was so faithful to his wife. He paid none of them any attention. In fact, I would almost say he was rude to them. Now, they were coming up to him. They were invading his space, and he totally rejected them. And I want to share that with you because it was just a moment I saw John Bon Jovi in a situation, you know, VIP room of a, you know, top gentleman's club in downtown Denver. And, you know, I mean, he could have had anybody he wanted, and he was not with anybody. Now, I don't know his personal life, but I'm assuming that this is reflective of his personal life. And I was just really impressed with that. And I went over and I had about, I don't know, 15, 20 minute conversation with him, which was kind of cool. I'm Scoot. It is a Monday afternoon. I hope you had a great weekend. If you went to Jazz Fest, glad you survived that. I didn't make it this weekend, but I'm planning on going next weekend. Also, the Plaquemines Parish Seafood Festival was this weekend as well, and the Zurich Classic. All right, so ICE has deported an immigrant mother and an infant and three children who are U.S. citizens. So, you know, this is really a tough situation. You've got adults here with kids. The kids are U.S. citizens. The mothers are illegal immigrants. Do the mothers stay here with the kids? I mean, I would think so. But there's an argument that, no, they don't stay here with the kids. But I would think they stay here with the kids. ICE officials in recent days have deported this Cuban-born mother of a one-year-old girl, separating them indefinitely. So I guess the one-year-old girl is still here. Then three children ages 2, 4, and 7, who are U.S. citizens, were deported along with their Honduran-born mothers. And so these are questions that Donald Trump has to answer in the court system. I mean, it is illegal to deport a U.S. citizen. So if a child is a U.S. citizen and their mother is an illegal immigrant, do you deport the mother, separating the mother from the children? Do you leave the children here? Do you leave the mother here with the kids? Well, you know, that's why a lot of people come here. And I don't think this is right. They come here to have children on American soil so they can stay. I don't think that's the right reason to come to America. But a lot of people have done this. So, I mean, what do you do in this situation? I mean, I think this is a tough one. Also, I read that the newest electric car battery can go 320 miles on a 5-minute charge. For those of you driving Teslas, for those of you driving EVs, can you imagine a battery that goes 320 miles on a 5-minute charge? You know where the battery's made? China. And guess what? If I have a chance to get that battery, if I had an EV, if I had a chance to get that battery in my car, I don't care where it's made, I want that battery in my car. So instead of like forcing manufacturing back to the United States, it's still going to be a case of Americans are going to want the best product at the lowest price. This is a great product. A car battery that goes 320 miles on a 5-minute charge. So if you could get that battery in your car, why wouldn't you want that? Well, you would. So what if it's made in China? What has to happen now is the U.S. has to figure out how to beat China at that. And if they can't, then we're going to get those batteries from China. I mean, it seems like this is the way the system works. This is the way free enterprise works. You know, this is an innovation. You know, you sit for a while and wait for the charge. And, you know, especially traveling, that's a problem. You know, if you're at home and you can, you know, charge your car overnight and hopefully the charge that you get overnight is enough to drive your car during the day. But, you know, when you're on the road, you got to stop and charge your vehicle, and you've got to plan that on your trip. I mean, there are gas stations everywhere. So if you're driving a gas-powered vehicle, I mean, unless you're going through some, you know, long extended area where there is no service in California or, say, maybe Texas, then, you know, you don't have to worry about gas. There's always going to be a gas stop coming up, but not with an electric car. You need to kind of plan your trip out. Okay, I'm going to get this far, so when I get this far, where can I charge my car up? Or do I need to charge here because there's not going to be another charging station until this particular point? But to get 320 miles on a 5-minute charge, I don't care if the battery's from China, I want that battery. All right, I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, Friday evening, I wish I would have gotten there. I've seen Cheap Trick recently, and I couldn't make it out there to see Cheap Trick Friday afternoon at Jazz Fest. But on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1978, Cheap Trick played their first of two shows at the Budokan Arena in Tokyo. I mean, this is a famous, famous arena, the Budokan Arena in Japan, in Tokyo. And they had a huge, huge crowd. They recorded the song, I Want You to Want Me, live. And that live version of the song became a hit. Cheap Trick was having trouble selling records in America. They hadn't caught on in America yet. They caught on in Japan first. And when this song, I Want You to Want Me, the live version from the Budokan Arena in Tokyo, when that hit and became a big hit, Cheap Trick took off. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar today, we would be wishing Dr. John happy 80th birthday, but he didn't make it to 80. He died in 1997, rough lifestyle, I guess. But yeah, Dr. Hook would have been 80 years old today. And this song kind of reminds me, only 16, song reminds me about the Jeffrey Epstein files. Donald Trump said he was going to release them in 2 weeks. That was like months ago. Where are the files? Here's what I heard. They include a lot of Donald Trump in them. Donald Trump is in the Jeffrey Epstein files. I mean, it doesn't mean he did anything wrong. It just means that he knew the guy. Or did he do anything? I don't know. We don't know. All I know is he promised to release the Jeffrey Epstein files, and they're still not released. Why? I'm Scoot. Let's go to Clyde in Natchez. Clyde, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing today?
I'm good.
Man, you got a good show today. This is a good show. I'm just loving it. I'm sitting in my car in the heat. My air conditioner broke. I'm fanning myself.
Oh man, I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm sweating like a hog, but it's okay because you're making me cool with all the good stuff that you got going on.
Cool.
And look, I didn't want to mess up the vibe here, but we were talking about Mr. Trump here, and again, I wonder what's in them files too. I don't know how the man get away with everything, but look. I'm thinking about those raids that went on this week, you know, in Florida and all over, and you know, all the people that are supposed to be illegal and stuff. And my question to you and the world is this, you know, they raided one place, and sometimes the people are not illegal, but they're raiding all these spots with the Hispanics and the illegal Mexicans and stuff. Then you find out that they are legal, but you got to go through this whole process of whether you are you have a criminal record. Now the next one's going to be the Haitians, and the Haitians are going to look like African-Americans, so therefore, are they going to raid all black clubs? Man, you got to prove that you are American citizen or that you don't have a criminal record. So I'm trying to find out, are they going to ever raid white clubs? Now, there are a lot of illegal white people in this country.
Well, there are, but let's be honest about this, Clyde. The illegal white people are not a concern. They're not a concern for Trump's people. They're not a concern for Trump. The whole show is to get the illegal people of color out of this country. And I talked about when I lived in Philadelphia, there were a lot of Irish people who were in this country illegally, and they were actively trying to stay away from ICE. They were trying to stay away from being deported. They were here illegally. But see, they don't matter.
It's sad, but they don't matter. Because and that's so disappointing because there are a lot, you know, illegal people here that are a white color and white skin, and I got a lot of white friends, but I mean, I don't have no racism in me, but I'm just saying, wow, is it really this bad? Because it's really hurting to see that this country is trying to just turn this whole thing into this white country, and I'm like, are you kidding me? You know? So
yeah, Clyde, look, I mean, it's a good topic. It's a hard topic to talk about because look, if you do bad, I don't care who you are in this country. If you do bad, you should either be in jail, and if you're illegal, you should be deported. But it does seem like the deep concern and the target is people of color who are here illegally over white people who are here illegally. Let's go to David in Mississippi. David, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to Richard in downtown New Orleans. Hey, Richard.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So I wanted to pass along a tip that I learned at Jazz Fest yesterday. Other of your listeners may already know this, but I was unaware. I've always had great hesitation buying tickets to events on the secondary market because one year, about 15 years ago, we bought six tickets to go to the Saints game, the most beautifully produced, glossy colored tickets with sequentially numbered seats and everything. And we show up at the dome, these are fake. You're not
doing that. Oh, wow.
Well, right. So yesterday, my wife and I are going into the fairgrounds, and there's scalpers selling tickets, and I'm a little hesitant. And guy goes, here, man, let her go in on one of them. You stay here with me, and she'll call you on your cell phone when she gets through that tells you it's a good ticket, and then you can pay me, and then we'll go. Work like a charm. She gets in the gate, calls me. Yeah, the ticket's good. Pay the man. So that's a good way to test to make sure you don't get ripped off.
Yeah, you know, that sounds like a cool idea. I mean, you're verifying that the tickets are good. So before paying anything, they gave her a ticket and she went in.
Exactly.
Or she didn't pay for her ticket in advance.
No, I sat there holding the cash.
Okay.
She took one ticket, went through the gate, and texted me as soon as she got through, said it's all good. You know,
that's a great idea. That's a great way to prove that they're good. Yeah. How much did you ultimately pay?
I paid $90 a piece. There were $100 face value, plus you got a $10 fee and a $5 fee. I think it's normally like $120, $125 I would have paid if I went up to the window, and I paid this guy $180 for the pair.
Okay. All right. Good deal. Listen, that's really, really great advice. I appreciate that. All right. If you've got a comment, the Oak and Art Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. So if you went to Jazz Fest, I guess you noticed it's getting a little hot. I mean, it's hot this afternoon. I mean, Alexa is telling me that it's 86 degrees right now. Alexa, what's the temperature in New Orleans? Alexa, what's the temperature in New Orleans?
Good afternoon, Scott. Right now, it's 86 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, expect a low of 71 degrees.
All right. Thanks. All right. 86 degrees. We'll be back on WWL. You think music was bad in 1958? On this day in 1958, this was the number one song in America. Oh, dear God. Thank God the Beatles came along a few years later. This is horrible. I mean, on this day in 1958, it was number one. I mean, it wasn't even Halloween season. I mean, maybe during Halloween, a gimmicky song, it becomes number one, Witch Doctor. But no, it was the number one song on this day in 1958. Donald Trump is criticizing the Saints for not selecting Shedeur Sanders in the draft. As much as you agree with Donald Trump on so many things, do you agree or disagree with Donald Trump? Should the Saints have drafted Shedeur Sanders? We'll talk about that and more next hour on WWL.